mother is ever going to say that motherhood is not sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Of course it's sacrifice. But what are the rewards?
In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, drawing on her decades of personal study and the application of God's principles as a daughter, mother, wife, and missionary, Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today with my friend, Gail Summers. Gail, we've been talking about what can become a very controversial subject, the matter of women working. And in our last discussion, it was about what a woman is to do when her husband insists upon her going to work and she wants to be submissive to her husband and also obedient to God. And the two things don't seem to work together very well. When we talk about this controversy, we realize that there are opposite views on all controversial topics. And some weeks ago, I asked you if you would do me the huge favor of answering a letter, which I really didn't feel qualified to answer nearly as well as I thought you were. It was a letter from a lady who was very concerned about women working when they have children. And the last part of your letter I'd like to read. You said this: when Christians whom we respect take opposite views on controversial topics, it does make us wonder, doesn't it, whether or not it's worth figuring out what we believe or whether we should ever run the risk of rejection for holding an unpopular view. I'm encouraging you not to lose heart. We do have an obligation to put love above all things, as in 1 Corinthians 13, but to put something above doesn't mean we erase everything below. We have a special responsibility to speak the truth in love. But we can't forget about the truth part simply because we are trying to get the love part right. As long as you can say truly before God that you are willing to love those who differ from you, you can differ from them with a clear conscience. Two opposite points of view cannot both be right. And sometimes we may have to wait until we get to heaven to find out who had the truth on certain subjects. But if we are convinced of what the Scriptures are very clear about, we can defend that position in a style which imparts grace to those who hear us. Now, I loved that last phrase, Gail. What do you mean by a style which imparts grace to those who hear us?
Okay, I'm glad you asked that because I do feel very strongly about this. I would hate to have come here and talked with you on this issue without really touching on that. What I have in mind there is that we are bound to come across people who have different opinions about the issues, the issue of working mothers, let's say. I have certainly met lots of women who think it's perfectly fine to put children in daycare, for women to have careers. Not only is it fine, that it's the right thing to do, it's something really to aim for. And I differ with them, and I feel it very strongly. And what I want to do is to jump up and say no. And I want to start listing all of the reasons why it's bad. And I really don't think that that is the kind of approach that imparts grace to those who hear. Because what we get ourselves into is a combative stance right away. So that if I go at that woman with all of my reasons, she will come back at me with all of her reasons. And instead of having an exchange of grace, in which what I have to say may actually give her the grace to do the right thing, we have something very different, a combative, argumentative encounter in which both of us have our reputations or our appearances at stake. So that what I try to do, if I find a woman who has views which are different from mine, I try to talk about the issues of child rearing and the influence of daycare in such a way that staying home with the children will appear to be a winsome thing, will be an attractive thing to her, that she will not feel that I am coming to her to argue her out of something. Rather, she will feel that I am coming to her and presenting her with something wonderful to reach out and take hold of. And I did actually, I have to give this testimony, this actually did happen to me with a friend of mine who has worked for 10 years and had a baby and was considering putting the baby in childcare at the age of 3 months and going back to work. She was a teacher. And I stood in her kitchen with her and talked about it. And we were talking about the baby and what her plans were. And she said, almost without flinching, she said, well, I'm going to put him in daycare. I have to go back to work. We can't afford for me not to. And so I told her what I could about what I knew about nurturing children and how it is with children that you have to be there and you have to be available to them. I didn't say it in an angry way. I didn't even say it in an argumentative way. I didn't even say it in a way to try to convince her. I was just talking about raising children and being at home with children. Well, she stopped and she looked at the baby and she said, I don't really want to go back to work, which floored me because she had said she wanted to put the child in daycare without even flinching. She said, I can't even stand to be in a different room from this baby. And she burst into tears. And I held her and I hugged her and I said, we can work something can be worked out. Something can happen here. God can do something. And I will help babysit that child if you do have to go back to work. I wanted her to know that I was not standing there as her accuser.
You were on her side.
I was on her side and the side of the child. And I would make myself available. I would take that baby into my house and babysit him, which would be much better than putting him in a daycare center. And I could see the load fall off of her back when she thought that if she actually did have to go back to work, that she could at least put that baby in my care. As it turned out, her husband also got a better paying job, and they had to leave the state for him to get this better paying job, but she's at home with that child. She didn't have to go back to work.
Wonderful story.
So that is my idea of, that is my goal, let's say. I probably don't pull it off very well all the time, but I would want these things to be talked about in such a way that a woman who's facing the decision and a woman who's maybe convinced herself that she needs to go back to work or wants to go back to work, when she hears what we have to say, would not feel condemned and stricken, because that I don't think that helps her to do what she has to do. I think it puts her in a wrong frame of mind. Rather, I would rather see what we have to say to her suggest that this is something good that she could reach out for and that God is there to help her to do it and will provide the grace. And that's what I mean by imparting grace. By the
Thank
way we
you.
Say it.
Well, I think what you've said fits in so very beautifully with the name of this radio program. Every now and then, I think I should explain what Gateway to Joy is supposed to mean and what my closing line, which I don't always use but very often use, means. It may not make sense to some people to say that every experience if offered to Jesus can be your gateway to joy. This has really been a crucial lesson in my own life, where the most impossible thing, when offered to Jesus, has become a gateway to joy, because at that point, God is, may I say, given the privilege, given permission to step in to my impossible situation mm-hmm. and show me what He can do. And the place where I find myself the most helpless is exactly the place where God wants to be my helper and my refuge. And one of the things that I feel so sad about when I talk to women is that their expectations have been shaped so largely by the world. You remember what Paul says in Romans 12, don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold, but it is a constant battle. Mm-hmm. That they should not be squeezed. And that's why I'm so grateful for this program, the opportunity to reach out to many women who listen to me in their kitchens or whatever, and I know that there are women who are listening to me driving to work, and I hope that some of those women who are driving to work are going to be able to quit driving to work, because you and I have been able to lodge in their consciousness a different expectation from that which the world has given them, and they didn't even know that it came from the world. Don't you think that's true?
Exactly, yes.
And the whole idea of the sacrifices of motherhood. To the world, the word sacrifice connotes loss and deprivation and something odious. To a Christian, the word sacrifice means something offered, something given back to God. It's a privilege. It's a joy. And no mother who has half a brain is ever going to say that motherhood is not sacrifice. Of course it's sacrifice. But what are the rewards? What are they, Gail?
The rewards are contentment in knowing that you're doing what God wants you to do, and fulfillment, and joy.
Really, you find joy in being a mother?
I find joy.
Even though you said that you were not cut out to be a mother.
It drives me wild. I go crazy. But I find joy and contentment in doing what I'm doing. And I feel as if it's a tremendous gift from God that I even have children, that I should be given three children to care for and to enjoy. I think it's a tremendous gift. And although they do drive me crazy, I feel joy.
You have about 40 seconds in which to encourage every mother out there that's listening to you now. What would you say to her about her job?
Well, if you are a mother like I am, and not all mothers are like me, some do find it really easy and a happy go, but if you are like me, who finds each day a challenge and who has the question almost every day, will I get through this day? Will I actually make it? I would encourage you to do what I do and what I find is the most satisfying thing, and that is to lift it up to God and say, of all the things that I could be doing, this is what I am doing, this is what you want me to do, and I trust you to make it right for my children and for me.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.